I was listening to the radio in the car this week, and they were talking about the Monty Python people, the actors, the participants, the originators, and they were speaking about one in particular, a man called Graham Chapman. And in an endeavor to be jocular, to be jokey, as that program always was, they said, "You mean the dead one?" And they had a kind of light-hearted conversation. Apparently, he had prepared a kind of diary of his life. And I think it was possibly a video diary, but they were making a film of his life. And then the interviewer said, "What kind of a man was he? What kind of a man was Graham Chapman?" And the answer came back, "A troubled man. A troubled man." And as I listened, I thought, that could be true of so many people. It can be true of any of us at any given time. We are troubled very often about things. We are sometimes troubled about things we shouldn't be troubled about. Riches won't prevent you being troubled. Success won't protect you from being troubled. If you left society and went to live as a hermit, it wouldn't stop you being troubled about things because your trouble would be inward. There are people who can't sleep because they are troubled. People who wake in the night or in the early morning and the troubles just pour in upon them. And the Christian is not immune to this kind of trouble spirit that can happen so often. The Christian may think that he is not saved, may be fearful as to his eternal destiny. I sometimes think of Pilate's wife, unable to sleep and having nightmares because she felt that Pilate was dealing with an innocent man. She was troubled in her sleep. She came and she said, "Have nothing to do with this." As I said, sometimes we are troubled about little things. And I began to think about these verses. Jesus saying that he gives peace. And he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And this is the message of the gospel. And what struck me then when I came to look at the verses was this: "My peace I leave with you." These are the words of Jesus in the upper room. He's about to go to Gethsemane. He's about to be crucified. He is leaving the comfort and fellowship of his disciples to go out into the garden where he would pray and sweat drops of blood. And then he would be taken and tortured, he would suffer, and he would be helpless in his enemies' hands, and he would die the most gruesome death on a cross. And he says to them, to the disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." And this is what struck me, first of all, is this: not as the world gives do I give to you. Not the world's peace. Now, what is the world's peace? What kind of peace is that? Well, let me give a few examples, perhaps. And you may have your own example. A student worries about exams, worries about finance, worries about grants, worries about relationships, worries whether there'll be a job at the end of a course. or a person in work worries as to his career, or an actor or someone might say, will I ever be given another part? Will I ever get a new contract? So many people nowadays on short-term contracts, what's going to happen at the end of that? Worries, anxieties. People in relationships are troubled about marital difficulties. What does the world say? Well, the world will say, here's a new contract. And you breathe a sigh of relief in a job. Or here is some counseling and help in your marriage or relationship situation. And temporarily, that's an answer. The world gives us that. Problems in the workplace, someone who intimidates us or bullies us or harasses us. And then that person moves on. And that's an answer of a kind, isn't it? There is short-term relief. The world gives that kind of response. Don't let your heart be troubled, says the world. That person will move on. Or there'll be another opportunity. Perhaps you worry about exams coming up, and so many students will try and guess at the topics that are likely to be in the questions, and they worry they've chosen the wrong topics. And the world says, and the exam paper comes around, and it's the right topic. And they've struck it lucky, the questions are what they expected. And the world has given a relief, an answer. Or we may be embarrassed about something, or ashamed of something, we're troubled by those. And what does the world say? The world says, get it off your chest. Go for counseling. Try and forget it. There are remedies, there are answers in the world. But Jesus says, that's not the kind of answer I give you. That's not the kind of peace I offer. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Because the world takes it away again. It's short term, it's not abiding, it's not lasting. Whereas the peace that Jesus gives is real, is permanent, is abiding, is eternal, really answers the very deepest need and deepest questions as to our eternal security. So that we are not dependent on the slings and fortunes of life. Not as the world gives. Dwell on this, my dear friend. Think about it. Not as the world gives, do I give you my peace. My peace. It's a peace that belongs to Jesus. It's the peace he had when facing Gethsemane and facing the cross and facing physical suffering, as well as the awfulness of the atoning death, the death for sin and sinners on the cross. That is the peace that he had and the peace that he was leaving to his disciples. What is this peace of Jesus then? It's the peace that he has in these circumstances. It's a peace that is founded on his relationship with his Father. Because he says, I am going away, I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, and the Father is greater than I. The joy he had, the peace he had, was because he was going to the Father. He was doing the Father's will. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. And Jesus gives us this peace if we have a relationship with him. And as I thought about this message, I thought about this, we need to learn and study and know a great deal about the Lord Jesus, about what he teaches, and we also have to exercise a relationship with him, to follow him, to seek to spend time with him in prayer as it were, walking with Jesus. In the circumstances of our lives, we look to him, we turn to him, we pray to him, committing ourselves to Jesus by faith. And this peace is not circumstantial, it is not temporary, it is not based on events or on good health or on worldly success. It is deep, abiding, and eternal. It also involves understanding. Look at what he says in this passage. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. They did not understand where he was going or what he was going to do. And so he shares with them their need to understand that going away meant going to his heavenly home and to his heavenly Father. You would have rejoiced if you'd known what my going away meant. We fret because we think we've got to work it out. And often we do not understand what Jesus is doing with us, or what he is doing in our lives, or what he is teaching us. In this passage, he speaks of what is going to come. I'm going away, I'm going to leave you. You should be happy about that because I'm going to my Father. And I'm telling you these things so that in the future you will look back and you'll remember that I've said these things and that I explained them to you. He was going to the cross where he would atone and pay for the sins of the world. He would offer himself a ransom in the will of his Father. And that ransom would be accepted, and God's justice would be satisfied. And Jesus was doing the Father's will. I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. The steps I am taking, my going away, it all has to do with me loving the Father and doing his will. The cross will be followed by the resurrection and the ascension. And the going away would involve glory for Jesus. And we lack peace because we misunderstand things. And we misunderstand the gospel and how God deals with us. And even our going away would be to enjoy Jesus' home and Jesus' place in heaven. One more thing. Who would rob us of our peace? Verse 30. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. I'm not going to talk to you anymore because I have other work to do, and I'm about to undertake that work. Who is the ruler of this world? Well, it's the devil. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 as well, the Apostle Paul says that he is the prince of the power of the air. He's the ruler of this world. He had offered the kingdoms of the world to the Lord Jesus. Temporarily, he appears to govern this world, and he is coming at the temptation of the Lord Jesus. We read that Satan left him for a while, but here he's about to come back in all his force and fury. The ruler of this world is coming. He is the one who is behind these schemes of men, behind Judas, entering into Judas's heart, behind the power of the religious authorities and political authorities. He is coming, but this is what I like. But he has no claim on me. I've met so many people who've said, they've got nothing on me, I didn't do it. They've got nothing on me. No evidence of any wrongdoing. Here is the only one who could ever say that. The prince of this world is coming. Now, when he comes against you and me, oh, he has his bait, he has his hook, he has his hold in some way or another. He knows our weakness. He knows when we stumble and fall and the way to get at us and to trouble us and disturb our peace. But Jesus says, he's got nothing on me. He has no hold on me. He's coming, but he has no claim. And yet Jesus would die in our place, in the place of sinners. In 1 Peter 5, we read these words, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And he causes us trouble and to be troubled. But Jesus is sinless, and we are to remind ourselves our hope is in him and our trust must be in him. And if we are in him, he cannot touch us either. He can't touch Jesus. He has nothing in me, no claim in me. In Philippians chapter 4, we read these wonderful words. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And Paul goes on to say, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Here's a man who's talking about imprisonment. Paul says, when he was in prison, most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He wasn't troubled by his imprisonment. In fact, he rejoices in it because it's an encouragement to others, and they take courage by his example. And he says, and the God of peace will be with you. So as I share these few thoughts with you tonight, what is it that troubles you? Are you indeed a believer? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus? Have you committed your life to him? Are you now committing your ways and your troubled thoughts and your concerns to him? Being troubled is not a sin. If we deal with it appropriately. And Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He himself knew what it was to be troubled in Gethsemane, in the garden. He says in Mark 14, verse 34, now is my soul distressed and troubled. And the answer for him is to repose, to rest in his Father's will. Let this cup pass from me, but yet not my will, but thine be done. And he arose and he came away. He'd found that place of rest and safety and security. He had peace, and he gives his peace to his followers. He is victorious over the ruler of this world. Let me remind you what he says then. The last line is, I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Let's go. Rise, let us go from here. He goes to his work, to his destiny. He goes to the cross willingly, obediently, lovingly. He has said these words of comfort and encouragement to the disciples. Now he goes to his work. And that is how you and I should be. We should find rest in Jesus and go to our work to witness, to live for him, and to serve him. Have you got the peace of Jesus tonight? Ask for it. If you have not, ask that you too, like that psalmist, might lie down and rest in peace and security. May he help us. Amen.